Good morning, participants. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask your questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. I would now like to turn the call over to Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's 9 months and Q3 2020 results, which we published earlier this morning. I have both Geraldine Matchett and Dimitri de Vreeze, co-CEOs of DSM, on the line today. Dimitri will talk you through our performance, and then both Dimitri and Geraldine are available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning as usual, so until about 8:30 today. As a reminder, today's call could contain forward-looking statements, so I must point out our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. And following our recent announcement about the proposed sale of our resins and functional materials businesses to Covestro, from now we will be talking about continuing operations unless said otherwise. I'd now like to hand over the call to Dimitri. Dimitri, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lieke, and good morning, everyone. Firstly, I hope you and your families are in good health. The safety of our people is always a priority. So given the ongoing challenges caused by COVID-19, I must start by saying how impressed I am by their ongoing resilience and commitment. Much of what we do at DSM is considered vital by governments because we contribute to the ongoing supply of food and medical equipment. And it's thanks to the extraordinary efforts of our employees and partners that we continue to serve our customers and society. This has meant we also delivered a solid set of results in Q3. This was what we expected, and as we set out in August during the first half-year results. And in fact, we have delivered a solid performance throughout the year, with nutrition performing very well, whilst materials faced a challenging environment. Group sales in the first 9 months are stable, and adjusted EBITDA was slightly down, -3%. Net profit includes some non-cash exceptionals, but the key measure which matter most to the market is free cash flow. And this was strong in the first 9 months at 639 million, up 60% versus prior year. And if we look more specifically at the performance of our materials and nutrition businesses, let me start with materials. There is a momentum in materials, although giving restocking effects and the recent surge of COVID-19 cases, we believe it's too early yet to get excited. Sales volumes for the 9 months were down 13%, resulting in a 33% drop in EBITDA. But the decline in Q3 has halved, and we have seen good growth in September, moving into October, and indeed, volumes in September were above the same time last year. At the very end of the quarter, we also announced the proposed sale of resins and functional materials and associated businesses to Covestro. And DRF, as we call it, was where I started as a leader. So I have many good memories there, and it was a bit of an emotional moment for me personally. The agreement to sell makes strategic sense for everyone, and I know Covestro shares similar views on culture and the importance of sustainability. We expect this transaction to close in the first half next year. The materials businesses, excluding resins and functional materials, show the strong quality of the portfolio with normalized EBITDA levels of more than 20%. Now let's go to nutrition. Nutrition delivered a 5% organic sales growth with a 6% increase in EBITDA in the first 9 months. And despite some increasingly negative foreign currency, the third quarter saw similar rates of growth with a continuation of good conditions for human nutrition, solid conditions for animal nutrition, and a gradual recovery in personal care. Volumes were driven by animal nutrition at the start of the year as feed producers accelerated purchases in anticipation of supply disruptions, and these stocks were gradually going down and back down during the rest of the year, although we started to see improving customer sentiment towards the end of the quarter. Human nutrition was the driver of growth in the second and third quarter, as demand for immunity-optimizing solutions has been elevated throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, food and beverages performed well, with a strong pantry loading effect from the end of Q1 throughout Q2, followed by continued good demand in Q3. Since the end of the quarter, we closed the acquisition of the Herber Group, which is our third acquisition this year. And with this transaction, DSM has gained more specialty solutions to improve our already strong offering in animal gut health solutions. We also gained additional premix facilities and a new diagnostic and testing capability. Moving on to our outlook. Early this year, we suspended our overall earnings outlook for the full year, owing to COVID-19 related uncertainties in materials. For nutrition, we indicated we would deliver at least a mid-single digit increase in adjusted EBITDA for 2020. And our expectations are unchanged. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star one now on your telephone. Star one for your questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. Star one for your questions or remarks. Go ahead. Our first question is from Mr. Andrew No of Bloomberg. Go ahead, please, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first one would be, when do you think you may be able to reinstate guidance on materials, and you know, what are the latest developments on that front?
Yeah. So let me try to answer that. So what we have seen for materials is a recovery throughout quarter three. But the issue is that basically we don't really know whether there's a real market demand or whether it's restocking, right? So what we've seen is initially July and August being negative and September positive in volume growth versus prior year. We see October a continuing portfolio where the recovery continues. However, with the resurgence of COVID-19 cases, we need to be cautious because I think we've seen what has happened in quarter two after that impact. So we want to be cautious on that front. And also December, before the end of the year, people review their stock level. So it's very difficult to give an outlook for materials. If we also look at how we look at COVID-19, I think we're better prepared than the first wave. So you do see there is a bit more confidence on how to treat it. So I would say it's very difficult to give any outlook for this year, obviously, because we refrain from giving an outlook. And we need to go into quarter one next year to see whether the market recovery is continuing or whether this extra demand, which we've seen in Q3 and maybe a little bit in Q4, is basically fading away because it's just filling the pipeline. And therefore, the visibility is still too low.
Mm-hmm. If I may, can I ask about resins? Could you talk a little bit about the carve-out challenges of resin and compare that with EM and PM? Was there something particularly easier about resins that it could be separated? And I'm just wondering sort of how, you know, if engineering materials and protective materials are sort of slightly more in bed, or and what are the synergies between, you know, the two remaining parts of materials? Thanks.
Yeah. Now, the materials businesses and the choice to intend to divest resins and functional materials had nothing to do with organizational setup. It really had to do with the fact that we feel that the resins and functional materials business is able to grow faster as part of Covestro. I think there's scale and consolidation needed in that part, and therefore teaming up with Covestro was good for resins and functional materials, and therefore good for us, and has a very good new home. In addition to that, the three businesses on the materials are always steered and reported as three separate entities. But they were bound together because of the material science component, and they also shared the material science component. So in that sense, they're not completely integrated and fully woven in. So in that sense, the carve-out will be relatively easy. And the engineering materials and protective materials continue on our path to build a nutrition, health, and sustainable living company. They are also relatively separate, but they are also integrated because they share the same material science know-how. And that is the connecting factor between those businesses.
That's great. Thank you. I'll let somebody else come in.
Next question is from Mr. Jeroen Segenhout, Financiële Dagblad. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning. I'm just wondering, you said, well, it was an emotional day for me, the announcement of the sale of a part of the business of the materials division. I was wondering, what did you do that day? Did you go to some of the facilities of the division, or to speak to the employees, or what happened?
Yeah. Well, they don't let me in during the COVID-19 restrictions, so we had to also do this digitally, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah. The interesting is that the moment that you go in this strategy, and I think Geraldine and myself took up the co-CEO job with a full alignment on where we want to bring the company. And we basically said, listen, if there's a better home for resins and functional materials in that consolidation market, which is ongoing, then if we can find a good home, then that is, I think, what we want to do. As a human being, you basically park that thought because it's a strategic, rational process you go through. And me being growing up in that business, I only can say that it hit hard the moment that you are in the Teams meetings, so the digital meetings, where you have the 2,000 people of Resins and Functional Materials joining, I think at least the opportunity to join, and you tell your story. That's not an easy story to tell because you're very grateful on that business. I've learned so much in that business, and it's a fantastic business. On the other hand, we found a good new home, so that makes it slightly more easier to tell that story. And I think that also has been appreciated, and it landed as such also with our Resins and Functional Materials colleagues.
Okay, you're talking about a better home, and you found a good new home for the resins part and the functional materials part. But is that same vision for the rest of the business? If you find a better home for those activities, then you will sell it?
Well, I think the remaining materials businesses has a very core stay in our strategy. We want to build a nutrition, health, and sustainable living company. So they're absolutely key to our strategy. Let me give you a reminder that the engineering materials business is nicely linked to the mobility and connectivity trend, which is ongoing today. I mean, we've seen electrical vehicles being sold more frequently than before, which needs high innovative new materials, and there our high-performance materials nicely fit in. So, no, it's absolutely key to our strategy to build a nutrition, health, and sustainable living company.
But with the materials business, because most of the analysts say, well, you will sell that.
Yeah, I think the sale of resins and functional materials doesn't imply immediately selling the engineering materials and protective materials, formerly Dyneema business. I want to clearly state that materials are key to our strategy. We're going to build a nutrition, health, and sustainable living company where the sustainable living component is absolutely a fantastic space with huge innovation headroom. And we want to be part of that. And therefore, the businesses which we have, the remaining materials businesses, have a very high quality of business. I think if you look at financially, if you look at the quality of the portfolio, the innovative character of the portfolio is very high. I mean, we've always look at that as an EBITDA percentage. So the higher the EBITDA percentage, the higher the quality of the portfolio. And for that remaining part, that has been around 20-21%, which basically is more or less the level of our nutrition business. So it's a high quality business. So it doesn't mean that because we sell resins and functional materials that we intend to sell the rest. No, not at all.
Okay. And last question about the currency effect. Where did that happen mostly?
Yeah, good morning. Maybe I will take that one. So because it seems to come as a little bit of a surprise because of its impact on the top line. So as you know, as a multinational company, We're exposed to a great number of currencies, and we report in euros. So what we saw at the earlier part of the year was primarily the weakening of the Brazilian real, on the one hand, and the strengthening of the Swiss franc was where the foreign exchange was coming from in terms of headwind. But clearly in Q3, it's the U.S. dollar and the much weaker U.S. dollar to euro exchange rate. So that's where it's coming from. Now, what we do as all multinationals is, of course, we do some hedging, which helps sort of smoothen a little bit the path, particularly on a period of rolling 12 months. But that only smoothens things because you don't hedge the whole exposure. So in a year, you know, with so much turbulence around corona, around elections, the markets are all over the place on FX, and that's what you see reflected in our numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any further questions or remarks, you can still press star 1 in your telephone. Go ahead, please. We have another question from Mr. Andrew Knoll of Bloomberg. Go ahead, your line is open. Mr. Andrew Knoll, please unmute your line.
Ah, that's better. Sorry. I think you'll get fed up of the materials questions, but I got to ask, I suppose, because, you know, what, I'm just wondering again, what sort of message, you think you'll send out by tomorrow's Capital Markets Day being on nutrition? As far as I can see, materials isn't on the agenda at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of tagged on to that, with the Covestro deal, you didn't use any banks. I'm wondering, wondering why that was? Did you handled it all through Philip, and that's great. So just wondering about the logistics there that you're able to do that.
Geraldine here. So mainly first, let me answer your first question on the investor event tomorrow, which, by the way, I do invite everyone to go and have a look at the materials that we have loaded there. So because of Corona, of course, it's a fully virtual event. And this the theme of the event was already set more than a year ago, actually, because we were supposed to hold this event in London, but then it was Brexit, and then it got postponed, and then it was Corona. So what we do with every investor event is that we have a predominant theme. And this year it's nutrition growth platforms and the related innovation pipeline. And if you go onto our virtual event, which will open up at 10 a.m. this morning, you will find all sorts of information on all of our great innovation platforms that really support the quality of our nutrition business. Whether it be personalized nutrition, whether it be gut health, immunity, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things there. So there is no signal whatsoever in the fact that that's the theme of the Investor Day, because that was always meant to be, and we rotate them. So that's on that point. And then when it comes to transactions, well, indeed, we have a very, very competent M&A department, and where we can, we do the work ourselves. We feel that, it's the best way to make sure that we do the right deals at the right terms. And so very happy and proud, actually, of the work done by the team that indeed correctly is led by Philip.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If there are any further questions or remarks, you can still press star 1. Go ahead. We have another question from Mr. Andrew Noel, Bloomberg.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got you on the line. I may as well. Just what are your feelings on the change of ownership at the Visp site? And could you sort of describe a little bit about your activities there? And, if you'd feel comfortable that, maybe a private equity owner will be running that site in the future.
Yeah, so we don't comment on other corporations and other transactions and companies, of course. But it is a site which is part of our nutrition business, and we've had a very long-standing relationship there with the current owner, with Lonza. So it is entirely up to them what they're going to do with that. We know that the strong relationship will continue because it is something which is in the benefit of both companies. But other than that, not really much more to comment on.
And maybe to add on it, we have a long-term agreement, and that's something which will continue, whatever owner it will be.
Yeah, understood. And just, yeah, you get the crazy questions at the end, I suppose. But but are you monitoring sort of birth rates or anything? I'm just wondering, you know, if lockdown, you know, looking at your infant formulas and so on, if you sort of see a pickup in a baby boom, I suppose, during from the lockdown, or is that, you know, just a bit too out there?
No, I think, I mean, like you said, absolutely, birth rates. We are monitoring birth rates because it's an indicator for our early life nutrition. And you know that China is an important market to it. So I think we were also trying to see what the leaving of the one-child policy would bring. We were all very hopeful, but we at the end of the day saw that it was rather limited. So we are due monitoring that. We, by the way, see some decrease in birth rates coming up. I think I said it in March and April when I said, well, maybe 9 months from now, this will help our business. So I think we'll still need to wait for the Christmas months to see what really happens. But to date, we don't see a pickup, but we all know that it takes 9 months, right? So it's very difficult to forecast. Hold that question for our quarter one media.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I wasn't stupid to ask it anyway. Okay, thanks very much.
No, it's a fair question because it's one of the indices we monitor. So it's very interesting. People say, why are you monitoring birth rates? Well, it does impact our ELN, early life nutrition business. So I think it's a good question.
Okay.
And we have a question from Mr. Jeroen Tegenhout, Financiële Dagblad. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I have another question about currencies, and because you were mentioning the weakening of the U.S. dollar, so I'm wondering, today are the American elections, what's the best outcome for DSM as for the company?
Yeah, well, of course that is the big question, right? For the next few days at least, and well, we are not into the polling business, so we're going to be, you know, watching like everybody and see what happens next. We have a nice business in the U.S., but been there for a long, long time. We have about $2 billion business in the U.S. and about 3,000 colleagues. So, of course, we are very interested, but we just wait to see what happens next.
So there is not a favorable outcome for you.
No, we won't speculate on neither on the outcome nor on the implications of the outcome.
Okay,
and we also think that we have no influence at all on the outcome.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Lieke, what's in common?
I think we're almost there at time, so just checking if there are any further questions. Otherwise, we'll close the call for today. And I'll Geraldine, maybe you would like to have some closing remarks before we do.
Yeah, just a few, you know, round off remarks. So, of course, we're pleased with the results, with our trading that's in line with expectations. Nutrition continues to do well, with strong trends underpinning the growth in human nutrition and solid conditions in our animal nutrition business, as well as the improving personal care, which confirms the long-term growth drivers of our business in nutrition and health. Now, for materials, we see this improving momentum that we've talked about with a good order book, but we do realize that, you know, visibility in the near term remains limited with this resurgence of COVID cases, particularly, of course, in Europe. While this pandemic is disruptive, and the people and for our business,
We feel that, you know, as a science-based company, which is focused on sustainability and innovation, we're actually very well positioned to do well going forward. Now, as mentioned earlier, we have created this virtual conference venue, which will open mid-morning. And we really invite you to go and have a look at the content that we have put there. You're very welcome to do that. And we hope that you will find this interesting. There's infographics, interviews, videos with a number of our leaders. So I really encourage you to go and have a look. And with that, back to you, Lieke.
Thank you, Geraldine and Dimitri. Thank you all. Have a great day and stay healthy and stay safe. And with that, I now hand the call back to the operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this DSM event call. Thank you for your attention. You may now disconnect your lines.